Web streaming of 90.3 WPLN-FM is made possible by listener support and by Vanderbilt University Medical Center, the promise of discovery. Learn how you can support this service at NashvillePublicRadio.org.
From NPR and WBEZ Chicago, this is Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, the NPR News Quiz. I'm Carl Castle.
And I'm Peter Sagal. There are days which change a little, days which change a lot, and days which change everything. This week saw a day that changed everything. From this day forward, when we make a Mitt Romney joke, people will say, who? We'll ask why, plus Grand Master of the Domestic Arts, Martha Stewart, joins us to play our games, and Carl Castle tries to give our panelists a pre-show pep talk.
Guys, if things don't go your way tonight, don't go out there looking like someone ran over your dog.
We'll ask who really needed to blink away the tears on our quiz coming up right after this hour's news.
From NPR News in Washington, I'm Nora Rahm. Today is Veterans Day. President Obama attended a ceremony this morning at Arlington National Cemetery.
Each year, on the 11th day of the 11th month, we pause as a nation and as a people to pay tribute to you, to thank you, to honor you, the heroes over the generations who have served this country of ours with distinction.
The president also had a message for the families of those who died. He said the sacrifice of their loved ones will never be forgotten. French President François Hollande laid a wreath at the Tomb of the Unknown Soldier in Paris in memory of France's war dead. NPR's Eleanor Beardsley reports, for the first year, all of France's war dead are being honored on Armistice Day, and not just the 1.5 million soldiers who died in World War I.
In his first official Armistice Day ceremony as president, François Hollande reviewed the troops and placed a wreath at the Eternal Flame under the Arc de Triomphe. Hollande was accompanied by the children of soldiers killed in Afghanistan, and later he paid homage to students who defied a German order in 1940 not to commemorate Armistice Day. November 11th marks the official end of World War I when the guns were silenced on the 11th minute of the 11th day of the 11th month in 1918 when the armistice was signed. Eleanor Beardsley, NPR News, Paris.
New York City is holding its annual Veterans Day parade, even as many residents are still recovering from two major storms, Sandy and a nor'easter. Thousands of people are still in temporary shelters. More than 100,000 people are in their homes, but without electricity. Sam Jeweler is a volunteer with a group that calls itself Occupy Sandy. He says there aren't enough aid workers on the ground to help.
I don't know how you survive if you're incapacitated. You know, you don't have your basic necessities, and got to be so many people out there suffering right now who aren't known about, because there are a lot of people helping, but there always need to be more.
Jeweler was among a group of people from the Occupy Wall Street movement, now shifting from protesting greed to providing aid. Investigators are trying to find out what caused a deadly explosion in Indianapolis last night. It destroyed two houses and set off a fire that spread to other homes. More than a dozen houses were damaged. Fire officials now say at least two people were killed and four others were injured. Rescuers are still searching through the rubble. About 200 people were forced from their homes overnight. Officials shut off power, gas, and other utilities while the investigation is underway. This is NPR News. The Israeli military says it fired warning shots into Syria today after a Syrian mortar shell struck an Israeli military post in the Golan Heights, apparently by mistake. There were no casualties reported on either side of the border. Israeli officials say they filed a complaint with the United Nations, saying that fire emanating from Syria into Israel will not be tolerated. The exchange heightened international fears that the Syrian civil war might ignite a wider conflict in the region. Israel captured the Golan Heights from Syria in the 1967 Mideast War. Syrian helicopters attacked near the border with Turkey today, after rebel fighters seized control of a border crossing. NPR's Peter Kenyon reports from Istanbul. Heavy fighting also continues in the northern city of Aleppo.
Opposition activists say military helicopters and artillery pounded the Hasaka and Ras al Ain areas near the Turkish border after rebel Free Syrian Army fighters captured the crossing there. The fighting has prompted a large wave of refugees to cross into Turkey in recent days, straining humanitarian resources. Turkey has also grown increasingly concerned as the fighting moves eastward toward Kurdish-controlled parts of Syria. Syrian Kurds have reportedly taken control of more towns in the area as government forces withdraw. Loyalist forces are said to have recaptured a northern stretch of the Damascus-Aleppo highway, and the Syrian state news agency says the army destroyed what it called a weapons and explosives warehouse in Idlib. Peter Kenyon, NPR News, Istanbul.
A strong earthquake struck Myanmar, also known as Burma, today. It had a magnitude of 6.8 and was followed by an aftershock of 5.8. Officials say 6 people died. I'm Nora Rahm, NPR News in Washington.
Support for NPR comes from the Robert Wood Johnson Foundation, marking 40 years of work to improve the health of all Americans. On the web at rwjf.org.
From NPR and WBEZ Chicago, this is Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, the NPR News Quiz. I'm Carl Castle, and here's your host at the Chase Bank Auditorium in downtown Chicago, Peter Sagal.
Thank you, Carl. Thank you, everybody. Very excited to be here, especially because of our guest today, Ms. Martha Stewart is going to be here. You hope? Yes, we're excited too. We hope she can help us all prepare for the holidays and cope with the aftermath of this week's election, depending on your feelings about it. If your side won, you can make a celebratory collage out of your used lawn signs. If you lost, you can make a yummy, powerful cocktail out of your own tears. Everybody wins. But first, it's your turn to register your opinion with us. Give us a call. The number is 1-888-WAIT-WAIT. That's 1-888-924-8924. Hi, you're on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Hi, Peter. This is Denise in Phoenix, Arizona.
Hey, how are things in Phoenix?
Warm.
Yes, that's what we would expect.
Yeah, I think we're expecting a cold spur to come in the next couple days.
You mean it might go down to like to something terrible like 65?
Exactly.
Oh, brr.
I know, I got to pull up my winter jacket.
Yeah, break up the furniture, burn it. That's my recommendation. Welcome to the show, Denise. Let me introduce you to our esteemed panel this week. First up, a comedian and the host of the Who's Paying Attention podcast. It's Mr. Alonzo Bowden, right
Hello.
Here. Next, one of the women behind the Washington Post's reliable source column, Ms. Roxanne Roberts.
Hello.
And a humorist and author whose latest book is Holidays in Heck, Mr. P.J. O'Rourke.
Hello, Denise.
Hello.
How you doing?
Denise, you're going to start us off with Who's Carl This Time. Carl Castle, of course, will recreate for you 3 quotations from the week's news. If you can correctly identify or explain 2 of them, you will win our prize. Carl's voice on your home answering machine. You ready to play?
Yes, I am.
All right. Here is your first quote.
I will say that, for now, one dog's probably enough.
That was somebody maybe disappointing his daughters on election night. Who was it?
Barack Obama.
Yes, indeed, President Obama. Very good. By smuggling in millions of African Americans, Latinos, women, and urban liberals into the country 20 to 50 years ago and arranging for them to grow up, have families, and vote, Barack Obama stole yet another election. So were you guys surprised by the election?
I was. I exhaled.
Really?
Yeah.
How long exactly
was,
had you been holding your breath?
Oh, for a couple of days. I think the first debate was when I first got a little nervous, and then Barack went home, and I just think Michelle gave him a good talking to. I think I think Michelle was like, look, I decorated this house. I ain't moving. So.
I wasn't happy, but I wasn't surprised. You know, it was the dog on the roof, I think, really.
Really? I'll do it like...
Americans love dogs. If you'd put one of his sons on the roof, and like we've all been tempted to do that with our kids. You know?
Now, on the other side, so the GOP is sort of dealing with this loss. They're trying to figure out what went wrong and what they should do next time. And the obvious solution is to run someone the complete 180-degree opposite of Mitt Romney. And Mitt Romney said, that's something I can do.
Can't you just let him rest in peace? Just
this is our last chance.
Let him go retire, be a good husband. He's a good dad. He's a good grandfather.
Did you know?
He was a lousy candidate.
But other than that,
it was like Bob Dole without the sparkle.
Yeah, how upset do you get when you say, okay, now I just have to go back to doing nothing with a few $100 million?
Yeah.
I mean, what do you complain about? Like, what's so bad?
He can't have a drink. That's what's so bad.
Which is like, you know what's going to happen, man?
Why I never got Romney in the first place was, how can you be a Republican and not have a drink?
You know what's going to happen?
You people know what the world looks like to Republicans? I need a drink right now.
Well, very good. Here is your next quote.
Guys, if things don't go your way tonight, don't go out there looking like someone ran over your dog.
That was the boss of one particular network warning his staffers to try and look fair and balanced on Tuesday. What was the network?
Oh, the Fox News.
Yes, Fox News, of course. Very good. Yeah, election night is like the Super Bowl, but everybody gets to cover it, so all the networks do what they can to gimmick up their broadcasting and stand out from the rest. NBC, and they did this, they took the rink at Rockefeller Center, and they painted the map of the U.S. on it, and then they'd color in the states as the returns came in. Did you see this? It was great to see Chris Matthews come out and do a triple sow cow in Missouri. ABC didn't have any special effects. Instead, their gimmick was drunk Diane Sawyer.
I'm sorry to interrupt on that, but do we think she was really drunk?
Well, it's hard to say. She was sort of giddy and laughing at odd places. She was slurring her words. She talked about President Barack Obama. Obama. But the network with the best special effects was Fox News. In the middle of the coverage, they brought out this really great 3D hologram of Karl Rove and then made his head explode. Oh, no, wait. That was actually Karl Rove. Did you see this? Fox News called Ohio and thus the presidency for Barack Obama. And Rove was like, no, it's not true. It's not true. It's not true. It's too early. So Megyn Kelly got up and she walked on camera down the hall to the Fox News political desk. It was weird to see Megyn Kelly get up and walk. Turns out she has legs. Who knew? We've never seen them before. Brian Williams did the same thing. It was exciting to learn he had a prehensile tail. You never know.
Have they called Florida yet? I don't think they have. Have they?
The Romney campaign conceded Florida on Thursday.
They did.
So we can assume that the votes will go to Obama in his total.
At what point do we just tell Florida you're not allowed to vote?
You're done. Just look at the map and just remove it from the body politic. Sort of circumcise America. Just. Just cut it off.
They really don't have it figured out, do they? They're in there in the booth trying to order the early bird special.
I don't know. Here is your last quote. It's from Colorado Governor John Hickenlooper.
Don't break out your Cheetos or goldfish too quickly.
Governor Hickenlooper was talking about the vote that made what legal in his state?
Recreational marijuana.
Yes, indeed. Recreational marijuana. Yes. Two states, Colorado and Washington State, made recreational use of pot legal after already making it legal for medical purposes. This is a huge advance because no longer will people have to go through the trouble of licking people with back pain just to get a contact high. It turns out, who knew, legalizing recreational pot is the best way to instantly cure an entire state's population of glaucoma. I can see, yelled everybody. They accomplished this through a historically high percentage of voter turnout in 2012. So it's weird they voted in something that guarantees a 0% voter turnout in 2016.
Buy Malamar stock.
Yeah.
My question would be, what's the difference between recreational marijuana and professional marijuana? at what point did they have to draw that line and say, all right, the recreational stuff's okay, but you pros just slow it down?
Well, I'm looking for the first commercials for marijuana and once it's legal completely, like Miller Lite pot. They'd be like, tastes great. What does? I don't remember.
Everything tastes great.
How much money do you think 7-Eleven threw into that legalized marijuana?
They're going to put the pot at the back of the store, so you have to walk through the Cheeto aisle to get back to the cash register. Carl, how did Denise do in our quiz?
Denise, you're a winner. You had 3 correct answers, so I'll be doing the message on your voicemail or answering machine.
Well done. Thank you so much for playing, Denise.
Thank you.
We want to remind everybody they can join us here most weeks at the Chase Bank Auditorium and at our upcoming show in Los Angeles on December 6th at the Nokia Theater. It'll be like the Emmys without all the attractive people. For tickets and more information, go to WBEZ.org or you can find a link at our website, waitwait.npr.org. Right now, panel, time for you to answer some questions about this week's news. Roxanne, after multiple complaints from customers, a coffee shop in the UK is finally making a change. What are they doing?
They finally serving coffee?
No, they've been serving coffee for a while, but they're making another significant change.
They're putting it in a cup.
tired of the customers screaming, ow!
It tastes all right. No clue.
Well, no more, for example, double venti decaf skinny caps.
Wait, is this the one where it's coffee?
Yes.
The sign just says coffee.
They have dumbed down their menu, right? So it's happened to all of us. We want a cup of coffee. We go into some overpriced chain coffee shop. We spend the next hour trying to sound out the menu while moving our lips. Like, venti what? So the Debenhams coffee shop has renamed all their drinks in plain English. A cafe latte is now a, quote, really, really milky coffee. Cafe mocha is chocolate-flavored coffee. And espresso is 2 teaspoons of mud, which costs $3. You can improve the whole coffee shop experience by losing all the fancy labels. Instead of baristas, how about theater majors? Coming up, a zero emissions bluff, the listener game. Call 1-888-WAIT-WAIT to play. And Martha Stewart joins us to play Not My Job. Support for NPR comes from NPR stations and National Geographic magazine, available on the iPhone with photographs, videos, interactive maps, and daily updates on a changing world. Progressive Insurance, with insurance for cars, boats, motorcycles, RVs, and commercial vehicles. At 1-800-PROGRESSIVE and progressive.com. And the National Association of Realtors, an advocate for home ownership. More at houselogic.com/homeownership. We'll be back in a minute with more of Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me from NPR. Thank you.
From NPR and WBEZ Chicago, this is Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, the NPR News Quiz. I'm Carl Castle. We're playing this week with P.J. O'Rourke, Roxanne Roberts, and Alonzo Bowden. And here again is your host at the Chase Bank Auditorium in downtown Chicago, Peter Sagal.
Thank you, Carl. Right now, it's time for the Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me Bluff the Listener game. Call 1-888-WAIT-WAIT to play our game in the air. Hi, you're on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Hi, Peter. This is Josh Eisenberg from Mill Valley, California.
Mill Valley is beautiful up there in Marin County. I have been there. It's a gorgeous place. What do you do there?
I'm an attorney in a small elder law practice.
Elder law practice?
Elder law, yeah. We handle all the legal issues affecting California's aging population.
There, because you're getting older.
Everybody is. It's a definitely a growth area.
I understand, yes. So, like, you're a normal lawyer, but you have to shout more.
Exactly.
Yeah. Well, welcome to the show, Josh. You're going to play the game in which you must try to tell truth from fiction. Carl, what is Josh's topic?
It's not easy being green.
We all do our bit to help the environment, turn out the lights when we leave a room, recycle cans, give up bathing. But this week, our panelists are going to read you three stories about what can happen when green living goes too far. Guess the true story. You'll win Carl's voice on your voicemail. Ready to play?
I sure am.
First, let's hear from P.J. O'Rourke.
The Swedes are the most virtuous people on Earth. They're so virtuous, it causes problems. What to do with a king in the world's most egalitarian society, where to find villains for the girl with the dragon tattoo, and a country where everybody is good. Now the Swedes have a new virtue problem. They're out of garbage. Turns out Swedes are so virtuous about composting organic matter, using the other side of the paper for computer printouts, separating glass and plastic, and recycling and repurposing everything, that Sweden has no trash. But the Swedes, being such good environmentalists, built green power plants to be fueled by carbon-scrubbed incineration of garbage, which Sweden doesn't have. So, Sweden is importing garbage from Norway. Unfortunately, Norwegians are almost as good at recycling as Swedes. So, Katarina Ostlund, senior advisor to the Swedish Environmental Protection Agency, says, I hope we will instead get the waste from Italy, Romania, or Bulgaria.
I think after hearing that, Sweden will declare war on the United States. The Swedes, having to import garbage from Norway because they don't have enough of their own. Our next story of an echo no-no comes from Roxanne Roberts.
Tiffany Stevenson is a dedicated vegan and environmentalist. She lives in a solar-powered trailer in Riverside outside of L.A., grows most of her food from her organic garden, drives an electric car, and strives to be eco-correct in all things. That includes her night job as a stripper, dancing under the name Green Queen. She gave up leather bras and high-heeled shoes years ago, but now her decision to give up plastic, specifically her Lycra G-string, has landed her in court. In June, Stevenson began wearing woven organic cotton costumes on stage, which earned her an A for social consciousness, but an X from the California State Board of Health. Rules require exotic dancers to cover, quote, commonly defined erogenous zones, and woven cotton doesn't do that under the club's hot lights. The dancer is suing the state, claiming that the law violates both her right to work and freedom of expression. She's asking for $1 million in dollar bills.
A stripper goes too green with her organic woven G-string. And your last story of a tree hugger holding on a little too tight to the tree comes from Alonzo Bowden.
Clay Wilkins' attempts to go green have attracted some unwelcome guests. Mr. Wilkins converted a diesel Mercedes-Benz to run on biodiesel fuel, and he fuels it with used cooking oil from local fast food places. Now, it would seem this is a perfect solution to the high cost of driving, but there is one drawback. Animals love the scent of burning used cooking oil. It smells like the hamburgers that were cooked in it. So, like moths to a flame, dogs, cats, the occasional rat, even a few coyotes, started following him around and hanging around his car. Noticing this and always being one to turn lemons into lemonade, Clay began Noah's Ark Safari Park tours. For a moderate fee, Clay drives tourists through the San Diego Wild Animal Park, with the guarantee that they will see every species of carnivore in the park. No more the lions were sleeping or grizzlies only hunt at night stories when you go back home. Clay guarantees you will go back with pictures of salivating carnivores right outside the car window. Now, things seemed fine for Clay until he was trapped in his own car by two hungry, angry bull mastiffs. Clay found out very quickly 200-pound dogs bred to hunt lions can rip through an old diesel Mercedes pretty easy. Psychologists say Clay will one day recover from his newfound phobia involving large animals in small spaces, and with therapy, he should be fine.
All right, let's review your choices. From P.G. O'Rourke, the country of Sweden gets so good at recycling they have to import garbage to feed their garbage-fueled power generators. From Roxanne Roberts, a stripper who went so green that she became almost naked. And from Alonzo Bowden, the story of a guy whose biodiesel car attracted too much attention from wild animals. Which of these is the real story of ecology taken too far?
I think I'm going to have to go with PJ's story of Sweden importing trash.
Really? You think so? That's the one?
I'm hoping.
All right. Well, we spoke to somebody who had an intimate knowledge of this problem.
We are importing most of the waste from Norway, a little portion from the UK. You can say it's a win-win situation.
That was Vein Winqvist. He is the director of Swedish Waste Management. Thank goodness he was on tape, so he could not hear PJ's version of his accent. Congratulations, Josh. You've got it right. Well done. PJ has a real story. They are importing garbage to Sweden. You've won our prize. Carl Castle will record the greeting in your home voicemail. Well done, sir.
Thanks so
well
much
done.
For having me, Peter.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Sometimes it's lying on a beach, about an alley out of reach. Just trash, I love it. What other people throw away, I try to save for a rainy day. Just trash, I love it.
And now the game where we invite accomplished people to take a little time off from accomplishing anything. For 30 years, Martha Stewart has been teaching people how to be classy, useful, attractive, and elegant through books, TV shows, magazines, and websites. We think we're going to be the first thing that even she can't make into a good thing. Martha Stewart, welcome to Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Hello, how are you?
I'm fine, thank you. How are you? So, this is true. My wife was trying to explain to my kids what it is exactly you do. And you do so many things that it's really hard. Well, you know, she does crafts and cooking and she has TV shows. How do you describe yourself?
Well, I am a teacher. And I teach people what they want and need to know. All about living. And the subject is quite vast, so you have to be pretty good at a lot of different things to teach the subject of living.
I mean, you say people need to know. Do people need to know how to make their own brass andirons from melted jewelry? I mean, that's, I mean, because you do these incredibly elaborate things.
Well, I don't think I've ever done that, but I have cast metal. I think that people want to know how to do practical and everyday things, like how to get the pomegranate seeds out of a pomegranate. Do you know how to do that?
No, tell me.
Take the point of a sharp knife,
yeah,
and just score through the skin, make and then quarter it, okay?
Yeah.
And break it into four quarters, the pomegranate. Turn the quarter of the pomegranate skin side up in the palm of your hand and hit it with the back of a wooden spoon over a bowl. And if you just keep hitting that skin of the quartered pomegranate in your hand, all the seeds will fall out neatly into the bowl, and you will be left with an empty skin.
Right.
You haven't bruised one of those beautiful little ruby red seeds in the pomegranate.
I actually have a fairly serious question. I want you to imagine that you've been invited by a friend, a close friend, somebody you're very easy and casual with over to dinner, and they take out a pomegranate, and they start removing the seeds incorrectly.
No, there are many ways to take the seeds out of pomegranate. This is by far the quickest, fastest, most practical, and neatest way to do it.
Let's say that they are removing the seeds in a non-optimum way.
Right.
Could you Martha Stewart, in that situation which I have described, stop yourself from telling them how to do it better.
No.
You couldn't have.
It would be hard.
You just don't have that gear. You can't just stop and go.
No, but it's fun. And they will love me forever because I have solved a problem, a lifelong problem of how to get the
I guess it has been a problem.
Yeah. Is it hard? I want to ask again, because I'm interested in what your life is like, because I've seen your shows and I've read your magazine. One of the things I admire so much about you is you make everything sort of excellent and classy and lovely, no matter what you start with. And we had some challenges for you to see what you would think of to do with this.
Oh, okay.
Here we go. So, for example, let's say I say, Martha, here's your project. Boom on the table, a can of Spam.
What would I do with it?
Yes.
Oh, I would open the can.
Yes.
I would slice it into about between an eighth and a quarter of an inch slices.
Mm-hmm.
And I would fry it in butter, just lightly saute it in butter, nice butter, unsalted butter. And I would eat it with Dijon mustard on nice country white bread, crusty bread. It is delicious.
You were a bachelor guy in a former life.
I
made that breakfast.
Is it good?
First of all, you've done that. What you just described.
I have. I grew up in a family of six kids.
All right, it's time to throw down, Martha Stewart.
Uh-oh.
Velveeta.
Oh, I love Velveeta.
Oh, come on.
I do, though. If I'm in somebody's house and they have Velveeta cheese, I do take a piece of it, and I really like it. I'm not kidding. But I have never bought it.
Ever?
Never.
Beer nuts.
Beer and nuts?
No, beer nuts.
What's beer nuts?
Ha! Sorry.
I don't know what those are.
That's all right. You don't really want to know.
Okay.
Have you ever, like, I mean, because you, again, I just keep coming back to the volume of stuff that you've talked about and that you do in all your projects. Have you ever woken up one day and you've got a TV show to do or a magazine article to do or a recipe to write and you got nothing? You just have run out of tropes and ideas and,
nope.
and clever projects? Really? Not once?
No. Nope.
You've never had to wait and just brainstorm? Nope. No?
No. Curiosity is a good thing.
Have you ever looked yourself up on Wikipedia?
I have. It's hideous. And
it is
it's
hideous.
Wrong. It's all wrong. They even have my date of my first and only marriage wrong.
We actually wanted to ask you about something we found on Wikipedia, so if it's not true, you can correct us. According to Wikipedia, you once dated Sir Anthony Hopkins, and Wikipedia says that you broke it off because you couldn't stop thinking of him as Hannibal Lecter.
That happens to be true.
No, really? Was he over for dinner and you were like chopping the vegetables and he said, I'll help you with that, Martha. And you were like,
The most charming man, And I went out to dinner with him and then I went back and I saw his piano. He plays the piano and he has a lovely house. And I wanted to invite him to my house in Maine. I have this big old house in Maine. And I kept thinking, I don't know if I can do that.
Really?
And I didn't. I was too afraid.
It would probably be easier if you didn't wear that hockey mask all the time. It's very comfortable, he said. Well, Martha Stewart, we are delighted to have you with us. It is a pleasure to have you here, but we have asked you here today to play a game that we are calling...
It's a Bad Thing.
Oh, my gosh.
So you're wonderful at helping people come up with great do-it-yourself projects. We're going to ask you about three not-so-great projects somebody really put together and displayed on the Internet. As helpfully collected by BuzzFeed. Get two questions right, you'll win our prize. Carl's voice on the home answering machine for one of our listeners, of course. Carl, who is Martha Stewart playing for?
She's playing for Hannah Hudson of Tacoma Park, Maryland.
Okay, well, poor Hannah, she's probably going to not get your voice.
All right, here we go.
Okay.
Here's your first question. People love to put logos on things on which they do not belong. One big fan of Louis Vuitton put their logo all over their what? A, their house. B, their wife. C, their assault rifle.
Their house.
Their house. No, their assault rifle.
Oh.
It's a charming AK-47 with Louis Vuitton logos and a bright green ammo magazine. Just the thing to bring to a firefight at a soiree.
Oh.
Next question. People love to reuse common household goods in their crafts, as I'm sure you know. There's a whole website out there devoted to making crafts out of spare what? A, fingernail clippings. B, tampons.
Ooh.
C, sodium sulfate, a byproduct of paper mills.
Hmm. Fingernails.
I'm going to ask you something. If I came to you with a small container of fingernail clippings and said, make something, could you do it?
Probably.
So you're going to stick with that answer, fingernail clippings?
Yeah.
It's tampons. The website is called tamponcrafts.com. You can go there to learn how to make Christmas ornaments.
I bet you could probably find a fingernail thing, too.
You're probably right. All right, Martha, one last question. Let's see if we can pick this one up.
Okay.
People love to make homemade beauty products. So if you want something crafty for use in your bathroom, you could buy, from Etsy, of course, A, tanning lotion made with real gravy, B, soap with real razor blades inside, or C, exfoliating wipes that are just squares of sandpaper.
Hmm. Maybe the exfoliating wipes.
Are you going to stick with that?
Yeah.
It was actually the soap with the razor blades.
Ew.
That's very unpleasant. And they sell that on Etsy?
They do sell it on Etsy. Their soap, it's translucent soap, so you can see the razor blades inside. And these soaps are labeled for decorative purposes only.
Oh, I don't like that. It's sort of like Hannibal Lecter.
Yeah. Carl, how did Martha Stewart do in our quiz?
She needed two correct answers to win for Hannah Hudson, but
Hannah, I'm so sorry. I'll do my voice for you, Hannah, anytime.
Really? Oh, yeah. Hannah, that's an offer. Hi, this is Martha Stewart. Hannah's not here. She's out doing something useful.
Oh, okay.
Something like that. Martha Stewart's holiday offerings can be found at Macy's, Home Depot, and Staples. Martha Stewart, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.
I'm glad they're coming. What fun to talk to you. Thank you, Martha.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. In just a minute, some new uses for your baby in our listener limerick challenge. Call 1-888-WAIT-WAIT to join us on the air. Support for NPR comes from NPR stations and Pimsleur language programs, offering tools to record an answering machine greeting in 50 languages. Learn more at pimsleur.com. CSX, whose trains move a ton of freight, nearly 500 miles on 1 gallon of fuel to help reduce fuel consumption. CSX, how tomorrow moves. And eSurance, an Allstate company, with RepairView, a tool that lets customers see photos of their car repairs from their computer or smartphone at eSurance.com. We'll be back in a minute with more of Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me from NPR.
And WBEZ Chicago, this is Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, the NPR News Quiz. I'm Carl Castle. We're playing this week with Roxanne Roberts, P.J. O'Rourke, and Alonzo Bowden. And here again is your host at the Chase Bank Auditorium in downtown Chicago, Peter Sagal.
Thank you, Carl. In just a minute, Carl moves a ton of limerick nearly 500 miles on 1 gallon of rhymes in our listener limerick challenge. If you'd like to play, give us a call at 1-888-WAIT-WAIT. That's 1-888-924-8924. Right now, panel, some more questions for you from the week's news. PJ, the National Weather Service and the Weather Channel are at war. The National Weather Service is refusing to go along with the Weather Channel in their new practice of doing what?
Naming winter storms.
Yes, indeed. Yeah. Two of old people's favorite things, the Weather Channel and the National Weather Service, are fighting. We all remember hurricanes by their names, Hurricane Andrew, Hurricane Sandy, or from that brief period where we let celebrities name them, Hurricane Apple and Hurricane Blue Ivy. Last month, though, the Weather Channel announced it would begin naming winter storms, too, you know, so that we wouldn't just say, you know, the blizzard. We'd say, Blizzard Bob. But the National Weather Service, the official government agency, says they will not be using those names for fear of doing something that is not boring.
I think the next step, they'd just commercialize the storms, right?
It'd be naming like, rights! This, yeah!
This storm brought Good to you idea. By Prestone Antifreeze.
Alonzo, a 29-year-old Rochester, New York entrepreneur, may be the first person to legally earn a living as a professional what?
Can I get a hint on this? Or?
Well, she can be the big spoon or the little spoon, depending on what you want.
That helped.
Yeah. Spooning. Like for spooning, when I say.
Yeah, oh, so a surrogate afterglow? I don't know, what do you...
Well, what do you do in that moment? What do you call that?
Spooning. What do you call the spooning part?
Yeah, that's...
Spooning, that's...
Well, okay, you're looking for a euphemism for spooning?
I'm looking for a verb that encompasses that activity.
As in... Actually making love?
No. Forget okay. that part. That's done. All right? So
that's usually when I leave.
I don't know this, so I'm thinking something like, honey, let's...
Yeah, that's when they want to talk about the future and the this and the that. And it just really, they go on and on at that point.
Wait a minute. It's all through the fog of 15 years of marriage. Cuddling.
Yes, she's a cuddling.
Cuddler.
She's a professional cuddler.
Cuddling. Cuddling.
I was trying to help you there.
No, it's okay. I'll lose the point on that. And I have cuddled. Women have actually told me that I'm a good hugger because I'm a big guy and they feel safe and secure. But I didn't know you could go pro. You know, I never thought of it.
I think you can, but I think it's against the law in most states.
Well, no. Jackie Samuel is the owner and operator of the Snuggery in Rochester. She specializes in hugs, cuddles, snuggles, spooning, and making people very uncomfortable right now. She insists her services are entirely PG-rated and that her only intention is to comfort the married, middle-aged businessman of Rochester and that one senator who sometimes stops by. Roxanne, officials in India have figured out a new way to stop people from relieving themselves in public. What are they doing?
I need a hint.
Well, nothing is more annoying than a drum circle or distraction.
You mean they've gotten the Occupy Wall Street people all the way over to India?
No.
To keep people from piddling in the road?
Nothing's more annoying than a drum circle. And that somehow would prevent somebody from peeing in public.
That's the idea.
They, in places where people might be likely to relieve themselves, they have little boys following them with drum sets.
That's exactly right.
No.
They have drummers following people around, and if they do that in public, they bang on the drum to draw attention to them, embarrass them, and stop them. A volunteer brigade of 4 to 5 people has been tasked with banging drums whenever they see someone doing it in public. Either it shames them and they stop, or they just start doing it to the beat, which is pretty awesome.
But at what point do they just say, you know what would be easier? Public bathrooms.
Yeah, well. Roxanne, the New York Army National Guard has spent the last week cleaning up and restoring power in the aftermath of Hurricane Sandy, but they haven't done it alone. According to a report this week, the morning after the storm, the Guard received a critical assist from whom?
I'm going to need a hint.
Well, they came in like angels with lingerie on.
The Victoria's Secret models?
Well, Victoria's Secret, yes. Victoria's Secret was the helper. Anybody who has thumbed through the Victoria's Secret catalog knows they provide a lot of support. Last week was no different. The National Guard's New York headquarters was hit hard by Sandy, leaving hundreds of soldiers without power, hot water, or lingerie models. Fortunately, Victoria's Secret hosts a fashion show in the same building, and they loaned their generators and other equipment to the National Guard. Because if you're a National Guardsman dreaming Victoria's Secret will show up, it's definitely because you want to borrow their forklift. Afterwards, Fredericks of Hollywood showed up with sluttier generators.
What I never got with Victoria's Secret were the wings. I never saw a hot girl in panties and a bra and said, you know, you need some wings growing out of your back. That, I mean, this is okay, but if some wings were growing out of you, then...
Then... Coming up, it's lightning fill in the blank, but first it's the game where you have to listen for the rhyme. If you'd like to play on air, call or leave a message at 1-888-WAIT-WAIT. That's 1-888-924-8924. Or you can click the Contact Us link on our website, waitwait.npr.org. There you can find out about attending our weekly live shows here at the Chase Bank Auditorium in Chicago, and our upcoming shows in Milwaukee next week, or in Los Angeles, the Milwaukee of the West, on December 6th. Yeah, I know what you're thinking. You're thinking they wish. Hi, you're on. Wait, wait, don't tell me.
Hi, this is Tanya from Tampa, Florida.
Hey, Tanya, how are you?
I'm fine, thanks.
You had an exciting year in Tampa. You had a big political convention.
Oh, yes.
Was that fun to have all those people running around Tampa?
There was a lot of traffic.
Yeah.
And a lot of businesses that were closed, funny enough.
Really?
Downtown shut down, literally, because it was just so busy and security was so tight down there.
Because Republicans steal things.
Yeah. Welcome to the show, Tanya.
Thank you.
Carl Castle is going to read you three news-related limericks with the last word or phrase missing from each. If you can fill in that last word or phrase correctly on two of the limericks, you'll be a big winner. Are you ready to play?
I am.
Here is your first limerick.
Though mourners might just blow a gasket, death isn't attractive, let's mask it. Pose half-naked foxes by solid pine boxes. Nude models will show off our...
casket.
Yes, exactly right. Casket. Very good. You know what's wrong with funerals? They're not sexy. But now, Polish casket company Linder has released a calendar featuring nearly naked models posing next to their caskets. This is true. How does this work? Is it like the mechanic? When you go into the mechanic, the funeral director hangs it in his office? He's like, well, yes, Mrs. Williams. Look up there. I think your husband would have really wanted to hit that. Here's your next limerick.
Baby's cute, but the parents want more. So let's give the young rascal a chore. Give it clothes that can sweep as the little one creeps. When it crawls, it will mop up the...
floor.
Right, yes, yes. Floor. Babies are cute, but they're useless, which is why some parents are now turning to the baby mop. The baby mop is exactly what it sounds like. It is a onesie attached to a mop head. So your tot buffs up the pine wood flooring just by crawling on it. The same company also recently released the Dad Wastebasket. It allows your dad to double as a place to stuff your leftovers. It's actually just your dad.
I'd love to see the baby mop that Martha Stewart would design.
Yes.
No, I know who would do this.
Who would
do this? It would be two men. You know, this may be the argument the Republicans have been looking for against gay marriage. Two men married to each other might use the baby mop.
I assume it's the truth because you don't have a woman there to say, why are you being such an idiot?
Exactly, yeah.
Yeah.
No, that would never work because that would be a straight man's idea.
Exactly. Like, okay. I was about to say.
That's why gay men are actually smart. That's why straight men should not be allowed to be involved in gay marriage.
Exactly right. All right, here is your last limerick.
We hook probes to a young student's brain. Then we say, here's a theorem, explain. As the neurons do math, there's an agonized path. Tough problems cause physical
pain.
Yes. Math is like love. It hurts.
Oh, God. I remember that.
According to... are you remembering math or love?
I'm remembering math.
Okay. According to scientists at the University of Chicago, math can cause actual physical pain, and not just because if you're good at it, you get beat up a lot. Math actually causes significant activity in your pain receptors in your brain. We'd explain further, but if math hurts, science can't be good for you either. Carl, how did Tanya do?
Tanya, you had 3 correct answers, so you win our prize.
Well done, Tanya. Nicely done. Congratulations.
Thank you very much.
Bye-bye. Now on to our final game, Lightning Fill-in-the-Blank. Each of our players has 60 seconds in which to answer as many fill-in-the-blank questions as he or she can. Each correct answer now worth 2 points. Carl, can you give us the scores?
P.J. O'Rourke has the lead. Peter, he has 4 points. Roxanne Roberts has 3. Alonzo Bowden has 2.
Okay. So that means, Alonzo, you are in third place. You get to go first. The clock will start when I ask you your first question. Fill in the blank. On Thursday, residents of the Northeast were hit with more power outages due to blank.
Snowstorm.
Yes. Obama's victory message and picture of him with Michelle beat out Justin Bieber's record as the most re-blanked blank ever.
Retweeted.
Yes,
picture.
Retweeted tweet. On Thursday, Walmart announced that this year they'll be starting their blank sale at 8 p.m. on Thanksgiving.
Black Friday.
Yes. Saying it was a code violation this week, the city of Carlsbad, California, removed an actual blank in the road.
Chicken crossing the road?
An actual fork in the road. A big one, about 6 feet high. For the first time this week, the majority of residents of Puerto Rico voted in favor of becoming a blank.
State.
Yes, to mark the 50th anniversary of the franchise. On Friday, Skyfall, the new blank movie, was released.
James Bond.
Yes, a Welsh job center is helping unemployed people find jobs by providing them with blank.
Computers?
No, spray tans. Apparently, being tan helps you get hired. This is certainly true for the jobs of lifeguard, professional bodybuilder, and Jersey Shore cast member. And the frightening orange glow of spray tan tells the guy in HR, you'll be the hardest working Oompa Loompa this chocolate factory has ever seen.
I don't know, Peter. I think I'm going to speak for a lot of black people and say being tan does not help you get a job.
All right, Carl, how did Alonzo do in our quiz?
Alonzo had 5 correct answers for 10 more points. He now has 12 points, and Alonzo has taken the lead.
All right. Roxanne, you are up next. Fill in the blank. In the wake of this week's election, House Speaker John Boehner said that he is willing to work with President Obama to avoid blank.
The fiscal cliff.
Yes, after the race was canceled, many marathoners in New York pitched in to help residents recover from blank.
Hurricane Sandy.
Yes, in spite of President Obama's reelection, Florida Governor Rick Scott said he will still refuse to implement parts of Obama's blank law.
Obamacare?
Yeah. In a speech to law students on Thursday, Attorney General Blank said he hasn't decided whether to stay for the second term.
Eric Holder.
Right. This week, the Disney Channel debuted a new show about a dog with its own blog. It's called Blank with a Blank.
Dog with a blog.
Yes. After spending $100 million of her own money in 2 campaigns, World Wrestling executive Blank lost again on Tuesday.
Linda McMahon.
Right. The Demeter Fragrance Library released a new cologne that smells like blank.
Sushi!
Yes! Raw fish, rice, and seaweed. It's the scent no woman or cat can resist. Just put it on, head to the club, and try to keep the woman from obeying their inexplicable desire to grab you the chopsticks and dunk you in soy sauce. Carl, how did Roxanne do in our quiz?
Roxanne had 7 correct answers for 14 more points. She now has 17 points.
All
right. Roxanne has taken the lead.
And Carl, how many answers correct does PJ need to finally win something this week?
7 correct answers.
Not happening, Carl. Yeah. It's just not happening.
All
it's
right.
Just not my week.
Here we go. Fill in the blank, PJ. This is for the game.
All right.
Because of severe shortages after Superstorm Sandy this week, New York City Mayor Bloomberg ordered emergency rationing of blank.
gasoline?
Yes. New Jersey Governor Chris Christie said finally meeting his idol blank was a major highlight of a rough week. Yes. This week, a team of rescuers in Britain spent 3 hours heroically rescuing a blank.
It was that cat that was lured into male stripper club by the sushi.
I'm just going to stop you now. No. It was a hedgehog that had gotten stuck in a potato chip bag.
Oh!
On Tuesday.
Oh! Why didn't they just shoot it? I mean, it's a hedgehog, for Christ's sake.
On Tuesday, Tammy Baldwin of Wisconsin became the first openly blank person elected to the Senate.
Gay?
Yes. Okay. When asked how he planned to jumpstart his losing team, Carolina Panthers quarterback Cam Newton suggested blanking.
No, I'm blanking myself, I must say.
He suggested putting up a suggestion box. The coaches can't figure out how to win. The players can't either, but random fans, they can do it. It seems silly, but it does say something that the team was very impressed with the suggestion, quote, score more points than the other team. They're going to.
It's that kind of insight.
Yeah.
You know,
that they need.
Yeah. Carl, Roxanne's congratulations.
Let's make it official.
Car. Week.
Did PJ do well enough to win?
He needed 7 correct answers to win, but he had just 3 correct answers. So with 17 points, Roxanne Roberts is this week's champion.
Congratulations, Roxanne. In just a minute, we'll ask our panelists, now that President Obama doesn't have to worry about being reelected, what he will do in his second term. But first, let me tell you that support for our Chicago shows is provided by Hyatt Hotels in downtown Chicago. Booking information is at Hyatt.com. Support for NPR comes from NPR stations and the National Association of Realtors, an advocate for homeownership. More at houselogic.com/homeownership. Lumber Liquidators supporting the Ronald McDonald House Charities, the National Braille Press, and NPR. Information at lumberliquidators.com. And the Wallace Foundation, a source of ideas for expanding learning opportunities beyond the school day at wallacefoundation.org. Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me is a production of NPR and WBEZ Chicago in association with Urgent Haircut Productions. Doug Berman, our benevolent overlord. Philip Goedeke writes our limericks. Our house manager is Don Hall. Assistant house manager is Tyler James Green. Our volunteer coordinator is Ray Teresi. Our intern is Leah the Menzer. Menzer. Our web guru is Beth Novi. Engineers include Lester Larchick and Mohamed Mao. Thanks to John Zajac at Chase Bank. BJ Lederman composed our theme. Our program is produced by Eva Walchover and Emily Ecton. Technical direction is from Lorna White. Our production coordinator is Robert Newhouse. Our senior producer is Ian Chillog. And the executive producer of Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me is Mr. Michael Linwood Danforth. Now, panel, what will President Obama do in his second term? Alonzo Bowden.
Barack Obama is finally going to cut loose. He's going to rename the Lincoln bedroom Jay-Z's crib.
Roxanne Roberts.
He'll release a duet with Chris Christie. He ain't heavy. He's my brother.
And B.J. O'Rourke.
Hey, he's finally going to read that Econ 101 textbook and go apologize to Paul Ryan.
Well, if Mr. Obama does any of that panel, we'll ask you about it on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell
Thank
Me.
Thank you, Carl Castle. Thanks to P.J. O'Rourke, Alonzo Bowden, and Roxanne Roberts. Thanks for all of you for listening. I'm Peter Seigel, and we will see you next week in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. Save us some beer. This is NPR.
Founded in 1842, Cumberland University has a long, distinctive history in Middle Tennessee. Today, Cumberland University is striving to create school leaders, offering a new cohort-driven Masters of Education in Instructional Leadership program. This unique 30-credit-hour, 14-month MEd is designed for teacher schedules with online and hybrid course delivery, including face-to-face classes at Cumberland's new facility at Mount Juliet's Providence Center. 547-1310. See you in the MEd.
Celebrating 50 years of community service and community support, this is 90.3 WPLN Nashville Public Radio.
91.5 WTML Tullahoma, and 91.7 WHRS Cookeville. You can find a complete schedule of all our programs and listen to a live stream of any of our program channels at WPLN.org. It's 12 o'clock.